in complete dependence upon our Lord to help us. That he may grant the power of his Spirit upon his own word. That there might be something to do us good from his sacred truths. I would, by way of text, ask your prayerful attention to the Psalm 139, which we read, and the last two verses of it. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. At our midweek service, we looked at those words in the Epistle of James. Pray one for another. And how important it is, dear friends, to commit one and another in humble prayer before Almighty God, that he may have mercy upon them in whatever passage or circumstance of life or matter of their soul they may be in. To pray for his mercy, for his grace to be known and felt within them and his good hand upon them, that they may glorify him, the Lord. Of course, that is where true rejoicing comes from, isn't it? To know that one for whom the Lord has been mindful can give witness and testimony of his pardoning love, his grace, his mercy, and their hope of eternal life. Dear friends, it's upon these things that the church of Christ is built. Christ being the chief cornerstone. Oh, dear friends, may we not build our church here upon anything else than what upon Christ has done and that revealed to each soul by the power of the Holy Spirit. A sure foundation. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. So may we ever pray one for another, bearing each other before the Lord. And as Paul exhorted the churches to pray for him, that he may be given a door of utterance, and that the word of God may not return unto him void. Oh, so may it be today, dear friends, in this evil day, that the Lord's work may still be known amongst us, and further afield, throughout our land, and yes, throughout the world. Our text here is a prayer. But it's a prayer for oneself. David, whose psalms contain many prayers, prays here for himself. And dear friends, how important it is, isn't it, to pray for ourselves? For we're living in a wicked, evil time. And within our own hearts, there are wicked and evil ways and thoughts. And David's prayer is, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. He begins the psalm, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. There has been those times, those experiences of his, where he's known the Lord searching him out and knowing him completely. His thoughts, his words, his deeds, everything about him. And he ends the psalm still with a prayer, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Why is this? Because David knows that only the Lord can keep him from that way of eternal destruction of his soul. David knows that great is his iniquity. He knows, as the Apostle Paul says, that in his flesh dwells no good thing. David knew what it was to be tempted by Satan. Oh, he was tempted, wasn't he, to slay Nabal, because Nabal did not do what David wished him to do. Oh, dear friends, how such evils abide within us, don't they? And then there was pride, when Satan tempted him to number the people to see how great a king he was of Israel. Dear friends, David had many, many a temptation. The lusts of his flesh. We're not told of all David's sins. We're only told a few examples. Dear friends, what is it with you and me? Our hearts, by nature. Well, yes, they are as a stone, as the hymn writer says. And unconcerned can look upon eternal misery. You know, we look, don't we, so much, if we search our own hearts, as to what they are really like. Have you ever tried to search your own heart? Dear friends, if we do, against the word of God, I'm sure we shall find the root of all evil within us. We are born, as we often say, yes, in sin. And we cannot deliver ourselves from it. David knew he could not deliver himself. Oh, he had to say and pray earnestly, didn't he, after that sin of his lust. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. He couldn't turn himself about from sin. And when we look within our own hearts, oh, we see so much that they're ruled by the desire for earthly things, because we are of the earth, earthy. Earthly pleasures, earthly leisures, earthly riches. And that aim, it affects our hearts. Well, it affects our minds, should I say. Because that's what's endemic in our hearts. Oh, Jesus said, didn't he? The thoughts which come from our hearts, they defile us. And dear friend, you and I can't stop those things coming up out of our hearts. And affecting our thoughts. Evil thoughts. And at times they affect our mind, affect our words, and they affect our deeds. Oh, did we not read last Lord's Day that confession of Saul? Saul of Tarsus, or should we say Paul the Apostle, after he came into the knowledge of the mercy of God, did he not say, "O wretched man that I am"? Dear friends, he knew what it was to have grief, but he also knew what it was to have rejoicing. Rejoicing in the mercy of God. How he needed to be kept from falling. Oh, this is the prayer of David here. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Know all that is in me. Try me and know my thoughts, all my intents. All those things which rise up, which I think is the good and the right way for me whilst I'm here upon this earth. See if there be any wicked way in me. Or as the margin says, see if there be any way of pain within me or of grief, that which causes, oh, the grieving of the Spirit, when the Spirit hath been mindful of us and led us into a knowledge of the truth, and it's become our desire that we be amongst the Lord's people. Oh, dear friends, how we need to be searched out by God and be kept in a right way. You know, when we search our own hearts, perhaps we may even be tempted to consider that we are righteous, better than others. What we think and what we do is right. When we talk to others, when we discuss things with others, or when we perhaps are easy and ready to criticise and to judge another, and we say we are right, they are wrong. But dear friends, that may be our own hearts within us. It may be our pride within us. It may be any evil spirit within us that's keeping us from the real truth, how deep we are in sin and iniquity. Dear friends, only the Lord himself can teach us truly what we really are. I read that portion in Jeremiah, which quite often quote, don't I? Which contains that description of our hearts. In that verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things, above all things, and desperately wicked. Oh, how it wants its own way, not the Lord's way. By nature, we don't want to declare, O Lord, I will humbly commit all my way unto thee. It more easily says, I will not have this man, this God, to rule over me. And how can we know it? It's part of us. Dear friends, we do not know the depth of sin that contains within us. And how it makes itself manifest, doesn't it? Oh, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't confess their sin, did they? They blamed another. Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent. And they didn't by nature fall before God and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, have mercy upon me. Oh, our hearts are deceitful, aren't they? Now try to find excuses for why things happen. And it's never our fault, is it? It's always the fault of another. And then we go on to say in that verse 10 in Jeremiah 17. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, that's mean our innermost being. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The offence is judgment here, isn't there? Oh, how solemn if we're left to the final judgment of God because of our ways and because of the fruit of our doings. That which comes to pass because of what we've said and what we've done. Perhaps we've brought grief on the case of others, sorrows, distresses, disappointments. Oh, we've cast them down and we've never repented of those things. We think we've been right. We think we've done things as they should be done. And we're left in the fruit of perhaps divisions and strifes and disorder. And oh, dear friends, our hearts deceitful. Who can know them? Who can know them? David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Oh, dear friends, the Lord knows our innermost being, doesn't he? When the Lord Jesus was upon this earth, surrounded by many, dear friends, he knew the hearts of each one. those that are there of the multitude, they could perhaps detect or judge by outward deeds and outward words. But the Lord knew the heart. Oh, there was that case time when Jesus went into the synagogue and there was a man with a withered hand. It was the Sabbath day. And Jesus said to the withered man, put forth thy hand to heal it. But he knew the hearts and the minds of those Pharisees and the leaders of the synagogue that were there, who sought to judge him that he had done work on the Sabbath day, contrary to the law. And there in their heart there was hatred, there was judgment, there was determination to put him away. He knew their hearts. Oh, and he spoke to them. How many of you who, having an ox or an ass, fall into a pit, will not go and pull him out on the Sabbath day? Oh, and how much more is it right to heal upon the Sabbath day? Not only physically, but spiritually. That one who was brought to the feet of Jesus, lowered to his feet through the roof, that palsied man carried by four, whose determination was that Jesus should heal him. The first thing Jesus said was, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there were those of the Pharisees who in their hearts said, who can forgive sins but God only? This man blasphemer. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, whether is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, take up thy bed and walk? Oh, an evidence, an outward evidence of his power, which those Pharisees could not do. And at the command of the voice of Jesus, the man was made whole, physically. And dear friends, at the voice of the Lord Jesus, who commanded the sins be forgiven, he was made whole spiritually. Oh, dear friends, that's what we need searching out for, isn't it? That the Lord will heal us in our souls, to know all that wickedness that lies within us, perhaps hidden from our own sight, for our hearts are deceitful. We need the Lord to search us, to know our hearts, and bring us into the knowledge of the way of truth. That where we can confess and be aware of all of our sin and to follow him by faith, looking unto Jesus in the way that is everlasting. Dear friends, this affects our whole being. It affects our whole lives. It affects us day by day. It affects us hour by hour. When David came towards the end of his life, he was guided by the Lord to make Solomon king. And Solomon was to build the temple, the house of God, which God had forbidden David to do. But David had made provision. And then David gave instruction to Solomon, his son. And it was this was instruction which David had learned himself by walking with God. He said, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts. He understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Oh, dear friends, there's judgment and mercy there, isn't there? The Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. We read that at the time of Noah, don't we? When the Lord looked down upon mankind, all the imaginations of their heart was only evil continually. The wickedness that was in them by nature was prevailing in their pathway of life. And they did not seek unto the Lord their God. And therefore he destroyed them. By grace, by the Lord's grace, Noah was saved. And all those whom the Lord constrained to enter into the ark with him. Dear friends, it's by grace, isn't it, of God we seek him. And dear friends, when we ask the Lord to search out our hearts and to know our thoughts, to convince us, yes, of that which is of all sinfulness and wickedness within, we don't want him then to leave us empty, do we? We want him to give us of his grace, of his mercy. And dear friends, the exercise of that grace and that mercy in the power of the Holy Spirit is what will keep us in the way everlasting, looking unto Jesus. Oh, we do not want to come into that solemn judgment, do we, of the last day, when we shall depart from him forever and only know the punishment he hath will bring on account of sin, iniquity, and the power of evil. O Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Cause me to look unto Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, dear friends, when we read this Psalm 139, it's a psalm, isn't it, of the Lord's great mercy and goodness towards his people. David was one of the Lord's people. He was blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. He was given great faith. And dear friends, that was in exercise from time to time. At other times, his sinful heart was in influence. Oh, there was a battle that went on within him, wasn't there? But this is also a psalm of praise. That David knew that the Lord had searched him before and known him. And he'd led him forth by the right way. He'd kept him, even from the power of sin. And that the Lord knew everything about him. Dear friends, if you're a child of God, the Lord knows everything about you. If you've been given that spirit to seek this way that is everlasting, the way that is faith and trust and belief in Jesus Christ, looking to him to save you and to keep you from the pit of corruption, knowing that you have got a sinful heart, that it is desperately wicked, dear friends, you're like David, and the Lord will keep you in spite of your many fears and your many times of failure and many sins. Oh, dear friends, what a great God is the God we have here in the Holy Word of God. David said the Lord knew all about him. His down sitting, his uprising, his understanding, his thoughts are far off. He compasses, surrounds his path, and his lying down are acquainted with all my ways. And there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Therefore, dear friends, the Lord is using all these things to work together for good, to keep you. At times, he may let you go your own way. But he knows your uprising. He knows your down sitting. He knows your path. He knows your goings out and your comings in. And he will use everything. At times, dear friends, for the blessing of your soul, for the evidence that he is yours and you are his. At times, maybe for your chastening. He'll let you stray. That will bring you back, knowing that your dependence is completely upon the Lord. And he'll bring you back, won't he, pleading again for his mercy. Oh, dear friends, the Lord knows all about us. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Dear friends, what a blessed state to be in. The hand of the Lord upon you. And yet your own heart within you, it rebels at times, doesn't it? Oh, to be kept in his care. You know, I was drawn in thinking about this to Paul when he was writing to the Romans. You know, when we come in our various circumstances of life, troubles and joys, but particularly in times of troubles and concerns and of the knowledge of sin, does it not draw you again to a throne of grace? And how do we pray? How do we pray at that a throne of grace? Paul, writing to his Romans, said, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Let me read that again. "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." We may ask many things in accordance to our own will when we come before the Lord in prayer. But the Lord searches us out in our prayer. The Lord looks upon us. He knows our hearts. He knows the intents of them. We may pray and ask the Lord for a certain thing with a particular way we may want to go, or things which we may wish to happen. But that may not be the Lord's will. And the Lord searcheth the heart. He knoweth what the mind is of the Spirit, his own Spirit, to lead his people in a way in accordance with his will. His will. And that is what brings the answers. Dear friends, the answers of his will concerning us, they may be not what we've asked for. But we know, he goes on to say, that all things work together for good. That's the next verse. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Dear friends, that's the question, isn't it? Do we love God? Are we the called according to his purpose? Have we been called by grace? Then that's we need to search our hearts, don't we, for that evidence. David searched his heart. David knew he was of God. David had the evidence he was of God. So did Paul, so did Peter. So those, dear friends, that changing of our heart, the taking away of a heart of stone, giving a heart of flesh, that was desires again and again and again, oh, to be confirmed in the way that is everlasting, delivered from the broad way which leadeth to destruction. You see, dear friends, there's a fear of God here, isn't there? The fear of the Lord. And if you fear the Lord, dear friends, knowing that only he can carry you and lead you aright and take you into that eternal kingdom, then, dear friends, you'll pray constantly, won't you, to be kept in that way. And you need, dear friends, we need each of us to be searched out, that we do not ask and be determined in our own mind and thoughts some things which are contrary to that way. You know, dear friends, we've got very determined hearts within us, haven't we? Very determined in our thoughts. Our hearts will tell us at times which is the right way, and we shall believe it. Oh, the Lord, keep us from determination in our prayers that that is the way. But to pray to the Lord, to teach us how to pray. Lord, may thy spirit rule within my heart. Lord, do search my heart. Help me to pray in accordance with thy spirit, that we may do that and plead for that which is accordance with thy will. Dear friends, what is the will of God to his people? The will of the Lord to his people, dear friends, is they will be kept in the way of truth. They'll be strengthened to withstand and bear all that may come against them, contrary to their own will, but which is for the evidence of the Lord's mercy to their soul. Their complete dependence upon the Lord, day by day, hour by hour, that our whole dependence is fixed upon him, and that he may work all things together for good. His good, the furtherance of the gospel, the blessing of the soul, the blessing of our soul. It may not be for the blessing of our flesh. It may be not for the way we want to go in the flesh. But dear friends, if the Lord is in it, and the Spirit of truth and the power of God is there, then dear friends, how we have to also be submissive, don't we? Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Dear friends, that's leading in the way that is everlasting. Lord, bring me submissive to thy will. Don't let me work it out for myself. Don't let me lay down those tram lines how I want thee to work, but to work all things together for the good of my soul, for the furtherance of the gospel, for the glory of God's name. Dear friends, I'm sure that's the way when Jesus said, whatsoever ye ask in my name, because he is the way, the truth and the life. Oh, how this searches us out, doesn't it? David says here, how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He says how the Lord was mindful of him before he was formed in the womb. The Lord put together, caused him to come, all his substance, all his bones, all his flesh to be born. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Dear friends, what does that mean, fearfully and wonderfully made? That word fearfully means full of fear. And that word wonderfully means full of wonder. Are you and I made like that? Full of fear, full of wonder. We do have natural fears, don't we? Fear of being killed, fear of death, fear of injury, fear of sickness. But you know, dear friends, a child of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, spiritually he is in the fear of God. Lest the Lord should leave him, lest the Lord should forsake him, lest the Lord should deal with him after his sins and iniquities. Dear friends, that's how the Lord makes his people. They're fearfully made. But they're also wonderfully made, full of wonder, because of the knowledge of his love, the knowledge of his mercy, to deliver them from all that could condemn their soul to eternal damnation. The wonders that's in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to give himself a sacrifice for sin. And oh, that love of God that he hath manifest, that we should be called the sons of God, wonderfully made. Made like unto Christ, sinless. Made prepared for a glorious kingdom, to be with him forever, accepted in the beloved. Oh yes, we're wonderfully made in the flesh. What a creation we are. Man cannot do it, can we? He tries to say, oh, we've been all formed together by chance over billions of years. But he does not understand how male and female have always come together so there could there be an offspring. Oh, evolution theory fails again and again and again. It's the hand of God. It's the creator of God. And dear friends, as we can see ourselves physically, we are created wonderfully, yes, in the image of God. So it is in our soul. Delivered from sin. Delivered from that terrible judgment to have hope of eternal life. And whilst we're upon this earth, oh, where we need to be kept from falling into the sinful nature of our hearts. Therefore, how urgent is this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Search me through and through. Deliver me from it, creating me a clean heart. Lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, dear friends, this is an important prayer, isn't it? Dear friends, when we get those answers, David had answers. He knew he was worthy of death. But the Lord said, I put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. He said, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Not dealt with us after our sins, not rewarded us according to our iniquities. But, dear friends, those prayers, search me, O God, oh, in accordance with the power of his Spirit, hath kept us alive. And his thoughts toward us are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give us an expected end. Oh, David says he will slay the wicked. Are we wicked? Have we evil thoughts? Yes. But dear friends, our saving knowledge and our saving grace is in faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Show me Christ. Show me him. Show me those sufferings. Show me the wounds of Jesus for my sin. Reveal that love within my heart by the Holy Ghost. Make me a sinner, saved by grace, and keep me in the bond of that love. Oh, dear friends, may that be our plea, may that be our determination throughout our days to be kept in the love of God through Jesus Christ, searched out, taught by the Spirit, that we may have everlasting life. Amen.